Well, amen. Let's sign her up. One, two. That was all right. I just met her son tonight, Andrew. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I want to thank our Lord and our pastor for an opportunity to preach God's word tonight. It's good to be with you. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin in verses 20 and read right on through verse 32. As I speak on this subject tonight, dress for success. Dress for success. And the word of God says this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 32. Ephesians 4, 20 through 32. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And may God bless unto us the reading of his word. Let's pray. We are so thankful, Lord, for your word. We're trusting right now that we might hear from you. I'd ask you'd use me for your glory and for the welfare of those who are here this day. Fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me receive what you have as those who listen receive what you have. For we serve you, a great God, loving in all ways, demonstrating how you want us to be, grateful that you are transforming us into your image, one potato at a time. Lord, I pray at this very moment, if there's someone here this night who does not know you, who is going through the motions, and the Holy Spirit has just found him out or her out, won't you just convict them and move them to trust in Jesus, the one in whose name I pray. Amen. And amen. Well, here's a freebie. Because Ephesians is packed. I mean, it's loaded. Look at verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to say something about that a little bit later in the message. By whom you were sealed for how long? And didn't I hear someone say amen when we read that just a few moments ago? See, we can't lose our salvation because the Holy Spirit seals us to the day of redemption. That's why as Baptists we would believe, once saved, always saved. We would believe the eternal security of the believer. That's just one reason we would believe that. Dress for success. Today we want to take a look at a change in attitude, the things that sadden the Holy Spirit, a change in actions, the things that gladden the Holy Spirit in regards to kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. But we begin the message by recognizing that the message is built upon two phrases. Verse 22 captures one of the phrases where it says the old man, and verse 24 captures another of the phrases where it says the new man. And also in this message, the message is built upon or around, if I could say it that way, two verb phrases. Verse 22, you put off, and then verse 24, you put on. And the Apostle Paul just gives us some vivid imagery, as if we were taking off our coats and putting back on the new coat in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Bible talks about the old man, it's talking about what we used to be before we were saved and what we are now as born-again children of God. The Word of God records in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You see, friends, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, our old life, with all of our old sin and our old guilt, was nailed on that tree that day with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, Romans 6 and 6 says, we, in our old way, died. We were crucified with him. And it's important to realize that that teaches a very important biblical principle about positional truth. Write that down. Positional truth. Positionally, beloved, we are crucified with Christ. Now, by the way, that's why we like immersion baptism in Baptist life as well. That's one of the reasons. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo. It means to immerse. But you know, and pastor says it every time, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're buried with Christ, and we are raised to the newness of life. We are dead. The old man is dead. And Paul says in Romans 6 and 6, the old man was crucified, nailed to that cross with Jesus. Positional truth. But you see, even though the positional truth is so in our life, sometimes we do not act as if we are dead in our sin and our guilt, and are enjoying our positional truth with the Lord Jesus. And that's known as a practical truth. Write that down. Positional truth and practical truth. If we were sitting at our attorney's office, he would say, well, functionally and practically, why would you want to do that? Challenging our thinking. The Word of God challenges our thinking and our actions and our very life when we're faced with the practical truth that we don't live as if we're in our positional truth. So just recognize that, in other words, the old life can be referred to as the old garments of bad habits, sin, failings, and shortcoming. to be wrapped around us, and practically speaking, day by day we have to put off and put away the old garments and put on the new garments. It doesn't happen once and for all as such. It's just something we have to practice. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says it this way: therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So here's the question: are you in Christ? You can be in Christ today. You can trust in Jesus today for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sin, for the promise of everlasting life. And you can have old things pass away and all things become new. Wouldn't you like to go home new to your spouse tonight? Amen. Now think about it. When you become a new man, you need to dress accordingly. So I want to talk to us today about how to dress for success. And I have just two basic thoughts that I want to share with you, two basic principles. Number one, we have to have a change in attitude. I have come to believe, beloved, that the battle for success in the life of a Christian is won and lost in our mind. The Word of God says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says it this way: our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you see the process? Day by day, the outward life, our physical life, is perishing. In another place in the Word, the Apostle Paul calls the body this earthly tent that we live in is destroyed. We have a building eternal in the heavens, not made of hands. For here we are to be of good courage, walk by faith, not by sight. For the believer in Jesus to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's an earthly tent. It's perishing. Perishing. But we have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the Word of God says that it is to be renewed day by day by day. I think that may be what the Apostle Paul had in mind when Colossians 3 and 10 recorded for us, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Not the world, but created humankind. So the battle for Christian life is won or lost in the mind. And how is it then that our spirit, how is the spirit in your mind renewed? That's the question. And it's renewed in knowledge. You see, you and I have to have a constant, I mean daily, sometimes moment, there's a battle for our mind. And it's a constant attempt to determine what we think and what we believe. And of course, it would help us if we would steer clear of the traps the devil sets for us. The tempter sets the snare, doesn't he? And we can avoid some images on internet or TV or movies and get the things that are wrong out of our, mind and get the things of the Lord God in our mind. Romans 12 and 2 says it this way: be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, beloved, the way to get a changed life is to change your thought life. The word transform means transfigured. It means metamorphize. There's a metamorphosis. There's a process that goes on in our body, in our life, in our mind, in our spirit. And the process of becoming less of what we are and more of what Jesus Christ saved us to be. And when we're in process, we're safe. Because we don't want to be what we were. We want to be what the Lord has saved us to be. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the Word of God, the Bible, The glory of the Lord are, listen, changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what happens. A child of our King, God's child, looks into the Bible, the Word of God, sees Jesus, the Son of God, and he is changed by the Spirit of God into the glory of God. A change in attitude. Be renewed. Renew your mind. So how many of us today have to change our attitude? We have to get into the Word of God day by day, get rid of the things that aren't right, and start packing in our mind the things that are right. Meaning correct. Yes, when you get Jesus in your life, when you get Jesus in your mind, you start thinking correctly. And the Word of God says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But there's a second thing. Number one, a change in attitude. But number two, a change of actions. Isn't that how verse 30 captures it? You haven't closed your Bible yet, have you? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It really just talks about a change of actions. It tells us a couple of things. Number one, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is in the life of a saved person. In plain talk, when you come to accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your life, and he dwells in you forever. It's one of those supernatural God things, okay? Everything you do, the Holy Spirit sees. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit goes. But the second thing this speaks of in verse 30 is that it tells us that the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit can be grieved. In plain talk, there are some things that sadden the Holy Spirit. And verse 22 and following just kind of helps us sort out those things, doesn't it? Verse 22 says, put off concerning your former conduct. And then in verse 25 we see, therefore putting away lying, let each one of us you speak the truth is with neighbor, for we are members of one another. So in a moment I'll be listing some things we need to put off that the Word of God lists right here. But I want to say two things about lying. I guess it was in the Deep South. In fact, it was. I was at a preaching conference with some mutual friends of ours, Pastor. And I heard Ron Dunn step up to the pulpit. Now, many of you who are my age or older know Ron Dunn. He's long gone to be with the Lord God. And he has seen the face of Jesus in heaven now. But he had pastored some Baptist churches in the Deep South, Texas mostly, and other places. But he was sought after the day I heard him, and in that season of his life and career, as an evangelist. And Ron Dunn got up and thanked the host pastor and thanked the one who was putting on the conference and thanked the crowd for showing up. Now he's preaching to a bunch of preachers who need their batteries charged. You understand? And he says, I'm doing pretty well. Somebody asked me earlier how I was doing, and I said, I'm doing pretty well. I'm lying less than I ever have in my life. We all laughed, just like Pastor laughed, and some of you laughed. But then he said, I'm not joking. Our pastor, I grew up on one end of the avenue in northern Kentucky, and one end is Fort Thomas Avenue at First Presbyterian. But the first church I was active in as a married man, Louise and I were at the other end of the avenue at First Baptist. And our pastor pastored First Baptist for 28 years. And our pastor taught us in the early days of our faith journey that when we look at your infant babies or grandbabies or great-grandbabies, who are ugly, pastor would say, my, that's a baby. See? Not all infants are cute. Isn't that right? Now, the Word of God teaches us here tonight that we're to stop lying. And Pastor said, that way, Thad, you never lie. You just say, that's a baby. Put it off. Just like you take off your coat. I'm just not going to be a liar anymore. That's a statement that's contrary to fact with the intention to deceive. That's really what the lie means. In verse 15 of chapter 4, the Word of God says, the truth is spoken in love. Listen carefully. When you speak the truth without love, that's brutality. And when you start speaking love without truth, that's sentimentality. But we are to speak the truth, beloved, in love. And you need to learn to start telling the truth. Another pastor friend of mine, in his 80s now, and just loves the Lord Jesus, been a great blessing to me through the years, uses the language that I use with you, Matt, and you, Jeffrey, and you, Pastor. And that's where I got it. He'd say, now, Thad, I love you in the Lord enough to tell you the truth. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. That's a good way to tell somebody the truth, isn't it?
Amen.
I love you in the Lord enough to tell you the truth. That was a mistake, Thad. Amen. And that has served me so well in ministry. Verse 26 says, the second thing we're to put off is anger. Verse 27 says, nor gives place to the devil. In other words, when we get angry in our life, we're giving the devil a foothold in our life. Hey, we never need to give the devil a foothold in our life. And the Word of God says we're to take off that anger and just put it aside. Put it away. So we don't give a foothold. Let me illustrate that this way. May I, from the Word of God? You remember when our Lord went into the temple and saw the money changers in the temple? He saw all the corruption that was going on. He saw the selling of the sheep and the sacrificial animals. And the Bible says he was angry. And what did he do? Do you remember? He overturned the tables of the money changers. Isn't that right? So the Word teaches that there is anger that is justified. And here's the key. The only time it is right to be angry is when you get angry at sin. You know, I need to remember that on my 40-minute commute one way over to the hospital to serve the Lord Jesus. You know? Wow. Here's the third thing. Verse 31. Bitterness. We're to put off bitterness. You know what bitterness is? Well, bitterness is anger that's nourished in the heart. It's hostility that takes root and nourishes in the heart. And if you allow the roots of bitterness, friends, to get into your heart, it will ruin your life. But the thing about bitterness is he doesn't act alone. He calls on his cousins in verse 31. Wrath. That just means an outburst of temper. Anger. That means smoldering, building fire. Clamor, that means yelling and loud talking. Evil speaking, that's abusive talking to a person. Now, some of us here tonight would no more lay a hand on somebody than a man in the moon, but we'd be abusive in how we talk to one another. And that final cousin that the bitterness calls on in verse 31, malice. That's a vicious disposition. How would you like to be known as one who harbors malice in your heart because you have a vicious disposition? There's some who need to repent tonight. Here's the fourth thing we put off. Verse 28, stealing. Those who stole, steal no more. Well, you ask now, will a born-again believer in Jesus Christ steal? Well, let me answer that this way. What about the something-for-nothing mentality that we enjoy in our society and our culture? What about taking home stuff from the office and you'll just use it and keep it? What about cheating on your tax return? You stealing? Pastor? Pastor? Music pastor? Sunday school teachers? Deacons? Supply past preachers? What about stealing the glory of our Lord? Amen. Word of God says, put it off. Put it away. Take it off. Quit stealing. The Word of God says in verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. But now there's a fifth thing we put off. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Another translation calls it something that's unwholesome. We must constantly work on this one. Well, there are things then that sadden the Holy Spirit, but praise God, there are things that gladden the Holy Spirit. Our Lord never leaves us hanging. He always provides the remedy in His Word. And that's verse 32. Be kind, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now you're putting on. Look here. You've been taking off the old garments, and now you're putting on the new. Hey, listen. How attractive would it be for a Christian to dress for success in the garment of kindness? In the garment of tender-heartedness, which... just another way of saying tenderhearted is to be compassionate. You know, I'm convinced, and I've learned it the hard way in Baptist life, but I'm convinced the best way to live is to have a tender heart and a thick hide. Be thick-skinned. Don't be so touchy. Tenderheartedness. You put on the garments of kindness, you put on the garments of tenderheartedness and compassion, and then you put on the garment of forgiving. Oh, no, we're not going to go there, are we? Yeah, Word of God goes there. You know, a Christian is forgiven, isn't that right? And a Christian who is forgiven needs to be one who forgives. So now to our slide, how do we dress for success? Well, number one, we change our attitude. Number two, we change our actions. And number three, we provide joy. How? By being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. Is there someone you need to be kind to? Is there someone that needs your forgiveness? Have you been having a hard heart? And the Lord says, be tender-hearted. Have you been trying to just get over something, but your actions have been demonstrating that you've been trying to get back at instead of getting over? You know, some of us never get over anything because we're too busy trying to get back at something or someone. Well, we're at the place in the service where we provide our invitation, and our music folks make their way to the platform, and here's the invitation. If you're here today and you want to be saved, you come. Do I get saved by walking the aisle of a Baptist church? No. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that word believe carries with it everything that it needs to carry with it regarding repentance. Turning from our life and our ways and turning towards the ways of our Lord. Hey, there's a big payoff. Eternal life. Forgiveness of sin. Salvation, tenderheartedness. You'll learn to forgive instead of holding a grudge. Hallelujah. Still, you may be saved and you're here tonight and the Lord has just read your mail for you. I mean, you've had a bad attitude and you need to change it. And your bad attitude has been bleeding over and demonstrating that in your bad action. You need to change that too. And you may want to come and repent right at the altar of our Lord. Still, there may be some here tonight who want to join this sweet fellowship. We have a wonderful church, a wonderful pastor. He'll be here to receive you tonight. However the Lord has moved in you tonight, won't you respond as we prepare for our hymn of appeal and sing the very first word of first stanza? Just stand and sing, and if you need to come, you come. You need to get right, get right. In Jesus' name, you'll never regret it.